Are we out there yet? Praise the Lord. Welcome, internet audience. We're glad you're with us today. We're glad that you joined us. We're going to have a great day today and be blessed with us. Let's go over to Psalm 35:27. We had a great party yesterday, didn't we? It was so sweet and the food was so good. Man, who made those beans? Those were something. Praise the Lord. We had a party about with the baby, for the baby. So were you surprised when the blue went up in the air? You thought it was a girl, didn't you? Yeah. So I did too. I didn't ask the Lord. I just thought it was a girl. But I think a boy is so appropriate. And look, they both wore blue today. And now Presley's going to have to share the stage. I'll be up here going, look at that baby. And then Kaya's next. And so Kaya and Chris. So then we'll have three new babies. Glory to God. And then later on and on and on. Praise the Lord. Babies are good. Praise the Lord. They're fresh from heaven. Praise the Lord. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy. And be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So here we see an Old Testament truth, right? This is an Old Testament truth. I got a little ring going, Manna. She's already working on it, I see. God takes pleasure. In the Old Testament, we see that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So how much more, as New Testament believers, does God take pleasure in the prosperity of his sons, of his daughters? Amen? See, the Lord desires to prosper us. And he's already provided everything we need. It's already here in the earth. It just has to get to you. You use your faith, it gets to you. Amen? And he desires for us to prosper. You know, when John wrote, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." Obviously here we can see that your financial condition and the condition of your health are tied to the condition of your soul. Yes. Right? It's tied to the condition of your soul. And so that's your mind and your will and your emotions, if anybody needs to know. So the prospering of your soul would be the same thing as the renewing of your mind. Okay? The renewing of your mind. And so the world, let me just say this. To renew your mind means that you take God's thoughts. You take God's thought. You link into what God thinks about things. Not what the world thinks about things, what God thinks about things. Praise the Lord, that'll keep my Bible pages from blowing right there. It's a blizzard up here. Praise the Lord. So the world links your prosperity to your job, does it? Yeah. It's so true. Or your income. But God links your prosperity to the condition of your soul. Yeah. Yeah, he does. See, a lot of believers, they're very diligent to tend to their job. Are they? Yeah. But they leave the condition of the soul unrenewed, the mind unrenewed. The mind gets neglected. Church, your prosperity is rooted in God. Amen. It's rooted in God. That makes your prosperity as limitless as God is. And God is limitless. So you're just not tied to your $5,000 a week. You can go way up over that. You're not tied to your $1,000 a week. You're not tied to whatever it is you make. You're not tied to that. Those of you that are retired, you're not tied to your retirement check. God is a prosperous God. He's a limitless God. And he has a million ways to bless you. You need to put your faith on that. There's a million ways God can get finances to you. There's a million ways he wants to do this, church. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. And so your prosperity, it's limitless. So don't limit your prosperity to a paycheck. Amen. Since your prosperity is rooted in God, find out through the word all that he's provided for you and then renew your mind with that. So today we could just renew our mind with the scripture I just read to you. Yeah. Let them shout for joy. Amen. Let them shout for joy. In other words, get happy. Yeah. You know, that, you know how to eat the scripture? Now, listen, don't let the scripture be a job for you. Let it be a communication for you and a declaration for you. This is a living word. See, so if I was going to meditate, I'd say, let them shout for joy. Let them shout. Hey, glory to God. God loves to prosper me. That's what I would say. Hey, don't give me this stuff of you think you need to be quiet. You'll be shouting at the football game this afternoon. Caden Calvary was running down the field. I was up on my feet. Ah! I mean, I'm hollering his name. Caden, go! He's going, yeah, it was just so cool. He's a receiver. That's what we need to be. We need to be receivers. Amen. And so to receive, you got to say something. You got to renew your mind. You got to get in on what God is doing. So, you know, it says this, it said, let them shout for joy. It says, those who know and love, if you need to know what that means, that favor my righteous cause, what it means there is to know and love what God does for you. His righteous cause is to do for you. That's his righteous cause. He wants to do it for you, Sandy. He wants to do it. He wants to do it for you, Art. Amen. He wants to. He wants to help you. He's trying to get in. That's what Hesed is. The love of God is so much bigger than what we think it is. Amen. You remember what Pastor Bert said last week? He said, we don't know the value of this church. Well, we're learning. Yes, but I'll tell you what. We haven't even cracked the surface of what God wants to give us. We need to press in and see what God wants to give us. And he wants to bless us. And so we put this word in our heart. We say it all day long. The Lord is great and he delights in my prosperity. It's that easy. The Lord loves me, ladies and gentlemen. And he delights in my prosperity. He will bless me. So, Father, thank you for delighting in our prosperity, the ability to take God's ability and bless mankind. Thank you that you're not, that we're not just subject to a paycheck. And when we connect to your finances, when we connect to tithing, when we connect with giving, and by confessing the word, shouting for joy, you are disposed to pour out the blessing on our lives. And we take it to the overflow in Jesus' name. We honor you, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you, and we shout for joy because you love us in Jesus' name. Come on, brothers. All brothers today. Praise the Lord. We got Isaac and Art and Ron and Cool. That's what I call Chris, Cool. It's his new name. Praise the Lord. God is good. If you'd like to give me a text message, you can give to VCHL in the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. Or you can look online. You can look on our webpage. You will see our address there. However you would choose to give, we bless you and we thank you for it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Bless everyone in the house, all of you givers, all of you tithers. Thank you, Lord. And those of you online, you can't see it, but our back wall looks beautiful. We have a brand new back wall and we have new booths. They look great. All that awaits is some trim and a paint job. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me. You're going to have to come take over for a minute. Praise the Lord. I'll be right back.
We magnify you, Lord. You are in the ascendancy in this place today. Father, thank you that no weapon formed against Pastor Roxanne is going to prosper in the name of Jesus. And Father, I'm thanking you that this word is going to come forth today unhindered by any satanic force in the name of Jesus. We worship you and we thank you because, Lord, it says in your word, but thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Thank you, Father dear, for always causing us to triumph. We're walking in your ways. We're walking in your unctions, Father. We're walking in your flows today. Thank you, Father dear, Holy Spirit, that you are reaching out to each and every heart today in the name of Jesus. Quickening, causing new, fresh revelation and understanding, new sights, new visions, even new concepts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father dear, for an I can, I will anointing in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's all pray in the spirit for just a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is always on the throne.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I had a little extra thing there, so I thought I would not make you go through it. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy 3:14. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. All right, we're going to look at verse 14 and verse 15. Thank y'all for praying. Thank you, Jesus. The devil is a liar. Praise God. All right, these things I write to you. Now, he's writing to Timothy, of course. This is Paul. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of the Lord, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So Paul is writing to Timothy. The subject here is how to conduct yourself in the house of God while doing God's business. Now, if there's anything that should be stressed, it's the highest law of love, the law, the royal law, which is the law of love. And so that's what we've been talking about. Jonathan Edwards said this, love is the sum of all virtue and love disposes us to do good. Isn't that good? So if you want to walk in the highest realm possible, if you want things to flow well, then you keep your love walk. And so we've been talking about faith for relationships. This is actually part 8, which will be our final part in this series. And so we've been using Paul's relationships to look at the type of relationships that we deal with in life. And we see that he dealt with all kinds of things. He dealt with strained relationships. He dealt with hostile people. He dealt with people who would quit right in the middle of things. He dealt with all kinds of people. and he actually became seasoned instead of poisoned. So he kept what Jesse was singing earlier, Jesus in the center. He kept Jesus in the center. Amen. And so, you know, it would just be so easy if we had this filtering system, you know, and so that would guarantee that we only had good relationships. That would just be really cool. But that doesn't happen. That's not what happens. Amen. That's not reality. So Jesus dealt with people. Paul dealt with all kinds of people. And we deal with all kinds of people. That's the way it's going to be in our lives. So we deal with all kinds of rejection from people. And rejection hurts. Abandonment is no fun. Criticism, persecution, living with strained relationships, walls being put up, hostility, gripey, whiny, manipulation, controlling, jealousy, victim mentality, someone who ignores your pain, someone who ignores you, and the list could go on and on and on and on. We've dealt with these things. Almost everyone in here's dealt with almost all of these at some point in your life. But here's the good news. There's an antidote. And that is the ultimate relationship. The ultimate relationship. It is your relationship with Father God. Amen. With the Godhead. Amen. So Psalm 118:8 says this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. I think these are good words for us today. We're facing something big in the nation right now. It would be real tempting to try to put your confidence in a man, but we need Jesus. Amen. Amen. We need God. We need the awakening. We're grateful for those who who believe in Jesus. We're grateful for those who want to do what's right. And we certainly, when it comes to voting, we want to vote Bible, of course. We don't want to vote anything fake. We want to vote for something real. But the truth is that the awakening of God is going to change this world. Jesus changes this world. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So, I would say this to you. When it comes to God, expect everything good in that relationship. Everything will be good. When it comes to people, not so much. Your expectancy could get way out there. And you just have to know that people are human. Amen. And like I told you last week, I was had a temptation to be upset with someone. And I decided to just forgive and move off, you know, forget about it. And after I did it, the Lord said, yeah, because you've acted just like that. So, and so I'm like, yeah, you're exactly right. That's true. So praise the Lord. So, you know, but it, you know, when it comes to people, it's really hard to be abandoned, you know, by friends. It is. So maybe you relate that back to high school days. I don't know for sure. Maybe even now, maybe someone has just moved away from you and you didn't want them to. But there is a perfect antidote for that. See, the perfect antidote to rejection is to be, I'm going to give you a new word today. Ready for it? Christocentric. That's actually a word. But what we say here is Jesus be in the center of our life. Okay? Keep Jesus in the center. Have a Christ-centered life. Exchange yourself for him. Put him in the center. We have a scripture that says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. In other words, dead men don't get their feelings hurt. Dead men don't stay offended. Dead men don't live in all the rejection. They won't live in the abuse. They let it go. Yeah, but you don't know how much they've abused me. Yeah, you're the only one being hurt by it. They're long gone. They don't care. Or even if they're around you, they're not suffering from it. You're allowing yourself to be poisoned. You're going to have to take care of that. And the way to take care of that is to understand that when you were born again, you came into eternity. Eternity is time forward and time back. All right. It was not just future. Eternity is always. It's am. Okay, and so if you came into eternity, then you were crucified with Christ. You were there. If you received Jesus and you're in Christ right now, then you were in him then. You were in him then. And so you went to the cross and you were crucified. And what got crucified in you? The old man. And now you're a new man. You're a new creature. And so live like that, church. Live like that. You're a new creature. I've already preached myself happy. Glory to God. So keep Jesus in the central, and he is supreme in our life. You know, if the scripture teaches anything, it's that Jesus is supreme and preeminent and central to all things. And I wanted to take just a few minutes and actually show you that. This is Colossians 1:16. It says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. So spacious, this is verse 19, so spacious is he, isn't that good? So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
Beautiful.
Have you ever thought about that? You know, you kind of remember Alice. She went through a little hole and got into a big space, you know. But this is how Jesus is.
Yeah.
This is how Jesus is. He has plenty of room. Love. When you comprehend love, I mean, it's deep and wide, as the old song used to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, listen to the NLT for verse 15. I'm going to read a lot of it. Let's read a lot of it. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Got it? For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm on the earth. He's the Word. God created everything with him. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Isn't that good? That's good. That's good Colossians, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Listen, every section of the Bible presents a different aspect of Jesus' character, his person, and his work. I'm just going to tell you what they are. The Old Testament is preparation for Jesus. The gospel is, gospels are manifestation of Jesus. Acts is the propagation of Jesus' message. The epistles are the explanation of Jesus' work. The revelation is the consummation of Jesus' kingdom. Isn't that good? Everything's about Jesus. It's always been you, Jesus. It's always been Jesus. Amen. So, you know, we're called to preach faith. That's one of the things we do here. We preach faith. We preach God is good. When you preach faith, though, you have to think about this. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. It's important to preach grace, but we remember that grace that we proclaim is nothing less than the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And so it's outstanding to preach eschatology, but it's Christ coming that we anticipate, right? Amen. Worship is wonderful, but we don't worship the act of worship. We're worshiping Jesus. Amen. Leadership is great, but only if we're leading people to have a closer relationship with Jesus. Amen. And service for him. It's tremendous to teach holiness, but we must remember that Jesus is the basis and the source of our holiness. Amen. We want to proclaim, we want to see all the gifts of the Spirit working, and we do. And that's what we should want. But they all glorify Jesus. Jesus is the focus, church. Jesus is the center of it all. And listen, here's something interesting. Jesus did not, he didn't have any trouble. He didn't mind at all declaring his own centrality. He knew he was the center. Listen to John 5:39. Says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Here's John 14:6. Ooh, that one gave me chill bumps. Jesus told them, I am him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You can't get to the Father by Buddha or Muhammad or Allah or anybody else. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you say, well, you know, what about the other two in the Trinity? What about the other two? Well, it doesn't diminish the importance of Father and Holy Spirit at all. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus for ministry. And then after Jesus left the earth, he came and testified of Jesus and is doing that right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Father drew attention to Jesus when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Amen. You know, Mary said that. For maybe some of you that need to know that about Mary, she said, do what he says. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the work, listen, I can assure you that the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working in perfect harmony. They're working in perfect harmony. There's no tension. There's no friction. There's no competition. There's no jealousy going on there. I don't know if you remember this, and some of you may not like it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Remember The Shack, the book, The Shack, and then they turned it into a movie. And some religious people were just appalled because they represented Holy Spirit as a woman in it. And whatever you think about that, that doesn't matter to me. But what I did love about the book, what I loved about the story, is how the Holy Trinity was in such harmony. How they worked together and flowed together. That brought a new picture to the body of Christ, that they could see how well this one God, who is three, worked so perfectly together. Beautiful. Everything is all right in the Godhead. Everything is all right. It's all running beautifully. They know exactly what they're doing. So whenever we exalt Jesus, you're actually honoring the Father and Holy Spirit. Amen. Scripture just reveals how flawless the sense of teamwork is with them. It's flawless. And here's a scripture. You may not have thought of this scripture in a while. This is 1 Corinthians 15:4. It actually says this, that the day is coming when Jesus will turn the kingdom back over to the Father. People are like, huh? That's what that verse says. It says he'll turn it back over to the Father. Amazing. People are like, wow, I didn't, you know. Well, see, here's what you have to know. It doesn't demote him at all. He's God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But that's what the verse says. So they work well together. Amen. So it just do us good to see if we're drawing people to Jesus, not our ministry, not how well we're doing, not even our church, but Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So our aim today is to keep Jesus in the center. And we've talked a lot about not being self-centered, but Christ-centered. But I want to go here today. I want to talk about the Father for a little while. This relationship with the Father. So what can we expect with God? Because if you can learn this, if you can get this, if you can get some revelation about the Father, you're going to be really free. So God is not an absentee father. He's not a baby daddy.
Come on. All right. That's good.
Y'all know what a baby daddy is? Okay. So he's a father. He is a daddy. His fatherhood is present with you right now. He's not a formula. He's a person. Father God as creator didn't wind up the clock and then walk away. Okay? Yes, he supplied everything, church. It's already been supplied. There was a plan from the beginning. And things have already been supplied through his son, right? We know this. And everything from salvation all the way down to stuff. Everything, every spiritual gift, every fruit of the Spirit, every grace that you can imagine, every way out, every way in, every door open, whatever it is, he's already provided for it. He's provided for your promotion. He's provided for every need you'll ever have. It's already in place in the spirit realm. And when it comes to stuff, it's already in place in this world. It's all already here. Amen. If it's a pickup truck, it's here somewhere. Amen. It's just got to get to you by faith, but you see what I'm saying. Amen. He supplied it all, but I want you to know this. He's still actively involved with you. He's still actively involved with you. So whereas he's provided it all, he just didn't walk away. He knows how to do all of that. He knows how to have given. And let me say this to you. He gave you authority in the earth so that you can declare. Because he can't do it without you. He can't even get in unless someone prays or declares.
Come on. Yeah.
Because he gave this earth over to people who are in earth suits.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why Jesus had to come in an earth suit. He couldn't come in and go, da, 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 da. I'm the Son of God. He came in an earth suit so he could show us who we could be.
Yeah. Wow.
He came as Son of Man with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're Son of Man with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And so this is what God has done for us. And so it's all set up and you can function with your authority, but at the same time, he's involved with you. He loves you. You just didn't have your children and then roll them out there somewhere and say, good luck, baby. In fact, luck is not a word we use. It's got the means Lucifer. Praise the Lord. It's all mixed up in there. But so God is good, and he wants to be involved with you. Now, here's what your relationship with God looks like. Go to Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I wonder, while you're going over there, I'm just going to put something in your thinking. How much harmony, how well all of us could harmonize together if we really stepped into a place in the Spirit with the Lord. Instead of being an audience, if we all just pulled on that anointing and we all just thought about His presence and we all corporately began to just drink of His Spirit, I wonder what harmony we could have here today. I wonder what the glory of God would do in our midst. When I say wonder, I mean that lightly. I'm trying to pull you somewhere. God is good. He wants to do something for you. And in my life, the most precious places I've ever been in is His presence. When He comes in so strong that the power of God, you can't resist it. You just enjoy it. And I mean, you could just sit right here and enjoy the glory of God getting thicker and thicker and thicker and just being blessed. Can you sense that right now? And you just sense that? God's inviting us into a new place. Some of y'all are already going, oh. Just drink. Enjoy. That's what He wants to do. I was listening. I'm getting off my notes. I don't care. We were listening to a story of a lady who went out of her body. She died for a little while. And she said, it's like, she didn't use these words, but I felt it, liquid love. Total, absolute acceptance. Yes. They didn't care. She was like, felt like she was the black sheep, you know, in her family and stuff. Maybe some of you can relate to that. I sure can. But, I mean, there's nothing there. Everybody in the heavenly realm was accepting her. Everybody was loving her. Everybody was glad to see her. Now, she had to come back because somebody prayed. But she came back and told it. She came back and said, the nurse that was taking care of me was begging God that I would come back. Because she had promised her she wouldn't die. She said, so I went back. She said, but there is nothing like that. Well, I'm here to tell you something. God can do that with you without you having to go pass over. You can get God's presence right now. I've been in meetings where God got so thick that nobody could do anything. Everybody just had to be quiet and just receive the glory of God. The awakening is here. So just in case you're like, well, that's good, but I love that feeling, but what's it doing? It's changing you. He's changing you. He's changing you the easiest way possible. The easiest way possible. Holy Spirit comes in and just begins to push out the chaff. All those things that bothered you, those things that irritated you, those things that have caused you to be blocked. Those things can just be removed. Yeah. Just be removed. I always say this, it's like going to the dentist and receiving laughing gas. You don't care which tooth they pull. Right? You're just like, oh, thank you, Lord. Liquid love. Just the glory of God. And in the glory of God, healing starts happening physically. People start changing physically. Dreams are born. Victories, victories, victories like never before. just because the anointing removes the burdens and destroys the yokes, where we could go, what we could do in the presence of Almighty God in this hour. What God wants to do with all of us. Everybody from, how old's Gladys? 96? 96 down to still in the womb there. God is moving. This is the awakening. And He wants Victory Church. This is one of the values of Victory Church. Yes, that Holy Spirit is not in the back room.
Amen. That's right. Thank you for it, Lord.
God is good, church. God is good. Stay in this. Listen to Romans 8:14. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is daddy. That's daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Do you know what it is to be an heir? My parents have both gone to glory. They left us an inheritance. We're heirs of the Alexanders. We're heirs. They left us things, money, stuff. Praise the Lord. Heirs, your inheritance. Well, your inheritance is coming from God, but it's not. Jesus already died, and now He is the one who's read the will. And now He's the one who's given out the inheritance. And it is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, the fullness of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and stuff. That's what He's doing. Amen. We are the heirs of God. We are joint heirs. So Jesus was the firstborn. We're not the secondborn. We are the firstborn, joint. Joint heirs. Amen. Father, us. Us and Jesus. Yeah, that's your family tree. That's your real family tree. Now, I've traced all the way back to the 1100s in my Alexander tree. But I'm going to take God's tree. It's way better. It's way better than the Klan Kerr. Although I love the Klan, I'm sure. But God is good. Amen. So you're not living under a ruler whose rules are fear and hardness. That's not God. You're led by a loving Father who cares very deeply for His children. You're nurtured, we would say. God the Father has that feminine side. And now I'm don't go, oh, she's saying God's a woman. I didn't say that. God is a spirit, yes. But He has everything in Him. If He didn't, He couldn't have created women.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. But He has all that. He has all that nurturing. He has the nurturing that a father can do, and He has the nurturing that a mother can do.
Right.
Holy Spirit's really good at it. Yes. Father's really good at it. Jesus was really good at it. Amen. So, well, yeah, you know, but it says for as many who are led, implying that some are not sons. That's not what that means. It actually means that those who submit to His influence, and that's where I want to get with you today, submit to His influence. Those are the ones who will be nurtured by Daddy. Just submit to the influence of God. Submit to the influence of God. They're sons. Father wants everyone to come under His influence, but some want to rule themselves. Some would pick religion over just being a kid of God, a child of God. I pick being a child. I don't want religion. I want the family. I want Father. I want my big brother, Jesus. Amen. He's done everything. I want Holy Spirit. I don't want to play church. You know, you can be saved and act like an orphan. Many do. Many do, church. You can be saved and live in the house like a slave. Amen. Or you can live in a house and be the son and the daughter who love to serve. You love to serve your father. Amen. So let's go here for just a minute. What would submitting to his influence, what would that look like for us? Well, it's really pretty simple. It would be that we are aware of his influence daily. We would be aware of God. We stay aware of him. We're aware or conscious of a desire to yield to that influence, right? We want to yield to it. We would not resist that influence, but we would follow cheerfully. He's not hard, church. He's not hard. Thank you, Lord. Okay, yeah. I was just checking. The Lord said something to me yesterday that just melted me, and I was seeing if he'd let me tell you. Not yet. Okay, so we don't resist that influence. So I heard someone recently say that being in the will of God is the most comfortable place. It is, and I'll tell you this, it's the safest place. It's the safest place. God is guiding. God is about drawing. He leads by inspiration. The devil is the driver. The devil is the isolator. He's the isolator. Amen. He pushes. And religion is that no defects policy, right? We're not looking for that. We're looking for a family. We're looking for a father. Father leads. And Father leads to repentance. He leads us to truth. He leads us to love. He leads us to holiness. He leads us to usefulness. He leads us to a fear-free lifestyle. And a fear-free life is a failure-free lifestyle. Amen. Life. It is. Amen. It is. Can you really be fear-free? Yeah. Absolutely. Let the Lord influence you. Walk in that. Spend some time with him. He'll show you. Amen. We talked about it Wednesday night. Perfect love flushes fear out. It flushes it out. You don't have to, I got to get rid of fear. I got to get rid of fear. No. That's the wrong approach. Get to know God. God is love. When you get to know God and you get to know how much he loves you, it'll flush the fear out. You don't have anything to be afraid of.
That's right.
Don't raise your hands, but how many of you are afraid to die? Why would you be afraid to die? You're just going to step over into glory land. There's no fear in that. It's just like taking off a coat and walking off. And feeling way better. Whew. Man, I feel good. That's what that lady said. She was like, it was hard for her to even tell. It was hard for her to even say it with words what it felt like, because it was just so wonderful. She just felt so much better. And everything was so much bigger than her little world. Why would we be afraid? Well, I don't, you know, this world is not my home. I'm, you know, what about the other way? Are you afraid to live?
There you go.
Are you afraid to live? Well, we shouldn't be, because we have a job to do. But the job isn't hard. We take his yoke on. We just let him do it through us. We just let him flow through us. We just watch for unctions. He'll give you every answer. Wherever you work, whatever you do, whatever you're doing in this world right now, God has every answer you need. Every answer. Well, we got this project and we don't know how we're going to finish it. God knows. Amen. Well, we're dealing with this person and we don't know what we're going to do with them. God knows.
Yes. He does.
Yield to his influence. Yield. Just yield to his influence. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, listen. God guides with kindness. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance. You remember that scripture? He guides with warning. He'll warn you. He guides with the word, this word of God. He guides with that still small voice on the inside. And he guides with the Holy Spirit within, just unctions. Amen. Listen, if you want to know Father, study his names. Go study his names. That'll help you get to know him. Getting to know him is so important. You need to know Father. You don't need to know a religion. You need to know them. You need to know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you've probably noticed all over these years that I don't say the Holy Spirit. I call him Holy Spirit. I don't say the Jesse, the Avery, the Isaac. I call you Isaac. Amen. Holy Spirit. He's not a thing. He's a person. And I'm going to tell you something. He is the most important person in your life. Because he can make everything else work with persons. He said, but you said Jesus was. Church, they're three in one, okay? Don't get off on being strange about that. All right. Now, so the last time I checked, the way that you get to know somebody is by spending time with them. That's how you do it. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, he's not here. He is here. He's in you. Talk to him. He'll talk back. If you pick up the word and read something, this word will communicate something to you, and you can put it down, and he'll say something to you in your spirit. That happens to me all the time. I've read something. I was reading 1 John, and Deb was reading 1 John. We're just going over it, and then we'd pass by each other and say something about it and about 1 John, and then we got off and wanted to look at it in the Passion Bible and everything, and see, you know, dig down into it. You're digging down into those things. And when I got done with that, I was getting ready to go somewhere, and the Lord just started talking to me. Now can I tell him? Okay. Praise the Lord. Not yet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So be aware of fatherhood. Be aware and humble enough to yield to his influence. Be humble enough to yield to. He's right. It's not going to hurt you. He's right. Right on the other side of that yield, you'll experience victory. Right on the other side of it. Amen. Act like you have a father. And we're going to close with this thought that I want to give you for our next series. How are we going to keep the royal law of love? How are we going to keep love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself? How will we do that? How is it possible that we could actually do that? Praise the Lord. How are we going to love our neighbor as ourself? How are we going to do the scripture that we started with in the beginning? It was Romans 12:18. It says, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. How are we actually going to do that? We're going to do it by the grace of God. We're going to keep Jesus in the center of it all. And we're going to keep a fresh relationship with our Father in heaven. Keep it fresh. Anybody you're close to, you keep the relationship fresh. Amen. And we're going to do both of those things, all of those things, by the help of the Holy Spirit, who we will also honor and love. It's all about the relationship with him first. The other relationships will come right in line if you put him in the center. And it's daily, church. It's daily. And it will confront you when the boss makes Tabasco sauce come up your legs. You will have to make the decision. Jesus in the center of it all. When the traffic does one thing and you're doing another, Jesus in the center of it all. Never answer darkness with darkness. Never. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Let the Lord train you in that. Don't care. Chris and I were talking. We had a funny talk about this. And he said, you know what really makes the other people mad? Is when they use that, I'll say sign language. He used another term. It was a decent one. It was holy. But, you know, the sign language. And so they do sign. And you wave at them and smile. That's what Chris said. I said, I agree with that. They don't. But you know what? What'd you say? You said he heaps coals. So, But what a good answer. Praise the Lord. Go on. I mean, I'll have people get on my bumper, and you know, they're just trying to push me, push me, push me. I'll just go ahead. Make yourself happy, and then I'll pray for them. Amen. I know I've told you this story before. It's worth saying again. Brother Barkley, Pastor Barkley, Mark Barkley, he was getting on the highway on the ramp going in. And so he's coming. You know how you got to start moving over when you get on there. And so he had a car coming up beside him and honked and gave him some sign language. And right when they gave him the sign language, they looked in his window and saw it was him, and it was one of his church members. So I'll just warn y'all, I'm out there. It's that silver Lexus. Watch out. Oh, praise the Lord. So God is good. So we do it. We're going to do it. And we're going to do it well, because we can do it by grace. We can love people. And this is going to bring great success. It just takes the stress out. I'm almost done, but I want to say something that the Holy Spirit just said to me. Forgive yourself. Move on. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. You've already been forgiven. Forgive yourself. Forgive your old daddy. Forgive your mama. Forgive your grandpa. Forgive your ex-husband. Forgive your child that did whatever, that forgive. Yes. And forgive yourself. It's all already been taken care of. That is an act that will change your life. Church, I want to say this to you again. It's worthy to say, but, and I know I'm hounding you on this, but if you don't get this, you're not going to get to where you want to go. So listen to me. God is a spirit. You use spirit to relate to God, not the mind. So you, not the soul. So the mind, will, and emotions are not, the will can get in tune with the spirit and begin to help you. And then the others will line up. But you have to contact God spirit to spirit. So that means if something's happening and you get mad at God, you stopped him. If you get in doubt, you stopped him. If you start trying to work it out yourself, you stop the flow. He's pushing to get it in. He didn't cut you off. He didn't say, well, I'm mad at them now. They're not going to get my help. He doesn't do that. He wants to get to you. He's banging on your window. He's looking in the window going, hey, let me in. But if you let your anger or your hostility or your pride or any of those things from your flesh start coming up, you've cut him off and he can't work. Humble yourself under his strength and go ahead and admit it. You're not God. I don't know, maybe news to some of you, but you're not. I'm not God. We have to say, you the boss. Amen. You're in control. What do you want to do? Yeah. When someone wants to talk to me and they're like, I need to talk to you about this. And they just start talking. I'm sitting there going, oh, Jesus. Tell me what to say, because I don't say this. Well, it's been my experience with so and so and so. No, no. What does this person need right now? What does this person need right now? What does the Holy Spirit? Sometimes that person needs, oh, sana. That was Spanish. Did y'all get that? Did y'all see what I did there? Okay. But sometimes they need to just be told. Uh-huh. They just need to be told, okay, look, you're running your mouth. And you're building a worse case, because every time you talk about your problem, it gets bigger, because that's what the spirit world does. The devil will help you with that. The devil will help you with that. Or God can help you, whichever you choose. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I said life and death are in the power of the tongue. Say it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's in the Bible, church. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Remember that. Get that in your heart. If I'm operating out of the soul, God's not getting through. Remember that. If you're operating in your soul, all you have to do is go, I reckon myself dead to that flesh. All you have to do is say it. Go look in the mirror and say, look at you now. You straighten up. Or just, I do it all the time. I go, Lord, I just did it again. Please forgive me. And then I switch it. You're in the center. You tell me. I'm not deciding this. Thank you, Lord. He just told me I could tell you. Because of what I just said just then. I was standing there yesterday. I was looking in the mirror. I was coloring the roof of my hair. My head here. And he's, now this, you're going to have to get this by faith, okay? World, get this by faith. This is what happened. The Lord said, I don't put too many restrictions on you. And I was like, you don't? No, you don't. And he said, I don't need to. Yeah. I don't need to. That blessed me so much. He said, I don't have to. He said, you'll do what I want you to do. That's what he said. I'm not trying to brag on me. I'm trying to tell you how God is. If you get in a place with him, he'll go ahead and, because you know, I'm really dogmatic about doing what he wants me to do. I'm dogmatic about it. But he's trying to lift that feeling of restriction off of me. He's trying to lift it off of me. But you're not restricted. The Lord told me, 2 years ago, two Septembers ago, he said, if you're going to Europe, you better go. I said, okay. So we went. And then we went again. And I asked him again, and he said, go. Go. You better go now, because we're rolling down on time here. Not because I'm old, church. I'm not old. We're rolling down on the time when all hands are on deck and there's going to be a lot going on in this world before the return of Jesus. And the Lord knows my heart that I've wanted to see Europe since I was 16. In fact, I want to tell you something. It's interesting that we did this because my sister-in-law, whom I love dearly, my brother was stationed in Ethiopia when I was a little kid. And they're all a little bit older than me. And so I was still a kid, and they were stationed in Ethiopia. And to get there, she had to go to Greece. And so she talked Greece. She kept talking Greece. Where do we go? We went to Greece. So that got in my heart. Yeah. So what's in your heart? Because God's going to help you get to do it. Because he put good things in your heart. Well, not me. I'm just going to serve the Lord and Jesus. And you are serving the Lord. Yes. You need to recreate with him. Yes. You've got to have your creator going. You've got to have creation flowing through you. You have to recreate with him. You got to take a break. I've been reading a book called Qualified, and it's that thick. And he talks about, it's about ministers, and talks about the importance of being in the rest and taking time out in your life. And it just so happens that when we go to Europe, we go into every church and pray. But God is good. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have what you want. He wants you to have the job you want to have. He wants you to live in the house you want to live in. He wants you to have the children you want to live. He wants you to have the boyfriend you want to have. He wants all those things. He'll choose the right ones for you. I mean, you could have been 9 years old when you first found your boyfriend. How about that? God could do that. Did you know that Pastor John and Ann met each other when they were that age? Mm-hmm. Yeah. God can do it. I'll just tell you this. God's already got Presley's husband picked out should Jesus not return. They'll have to have marriage in heaven, I guess, if whatever they do there is a little different. But he's already got the plan. He's already got the plan for baby. Yep. Baby Jesse is what I'm calling him right now. Baby, he already has the plan for you. He already has the plan for your next vacation. In fact, back to that, when he said, I'm not restricting you, I was like, so I can go anywhere I want to go? That's how I talk to my daddy. My daddy, my earthly daddy. I wouldn't talk to God like that. Well, see, you don't know him like I know him. I imagine myself as a little girl sitting in Father's lap. That's what I do. And he shows me things. That's what I get a picture of it when I'm with him. I'm like, I'm just a little girl in Daddy's lap. Show me what you want to show me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever. And you know what he says to that? I'll do whatever you want me to do. You get in the right place with God, he'll do whatever you want him to do. But get over yourself. He delights in you, and he the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He puts the desire in there, and then you desire it, and then he fulfills the desire, and then you do it, and then he rewards you for it. How good is that? It's kind of like when you taught your kid to ride the bicycle, right? And you're pushing them down the road, and they think they're doing so great, but you're pushing them. And then when you finally let them go and they go off a little bit and you're going, yay, and they're like, look at me. That's how God is about you. Yeah. Amen. Okay, I'll close with this. We're still early, but we're good. The greatest revelation. You want to know it? Yeah. The greatest revelation that we have that will help you more than anything else. You ready? How many of y'all are already on this side? You want to know the greatest revelation? Some of y'all do. Let's try it over here. How many of y'all want to know the greatest revelation? Okay. The greatest revelation that will ever help you is that God is good all of the time. And that is not a catchphrase. That's not a case. He is good. And so we're going to spend the next season talking about how good God is. He's a good father. He's a good brother. He's a good leader, a good Holy Spirit. God is good. And good may not be what you think it is. Good is not, yes, he's so good. He put this cancer on me to teach me something. God does not have cancer. He can't put it on you. That comes from the thief, and God will get rid of it for you. People get attacked. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers you out of them all. Well, I guess I was bad, and that's why I got sick. Get over that. There's a lot of reasons why people get sick. They let their guard down. They get off the path. They eat crummy. Everybody say amen. Amen. They're attacked because they're doing something good.
Yes.
It could be many reasons. The problems in the world are because you made the wrong decision, somebody else around you made the wrong decision, or you live in a dark world. Those are the only way trouble comes. Those are the only way, those three ways. You caused it, someone around you caused it, or the dark world caused it. That's the only way things happen. God didn't cause it. The devil influences the world system, other people, and sometimes you. But here's the thing. God will get you out of every bit of it. Every day, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He loves you. He doesn't care to try to... The only reason he wants to bring the correction is because he loves you and he wants you out of it. He's not trying to beat you up. So I can close with this. I started with this. How God anointed Jesus, the center of our life, who went about doing
good.
Healing all who were oppressed of the
devil.
God anointed Jesus to do good. God's anointed you to do good. God is good. When Moses said, I want to see your glory, God said, oh, I'll let my goodness pass by you. They're the same thing. God's good. God said it when God kept saying he created and it was good. He created and it was good. He created and it was good. That word good means you can't make an, you can't improve it. You can't improve it. It's at the very top. God is good. And all of the people that believe the lies of religion and believe these diabolical false doctrines that God put that on you to teach you something, I pray the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. Yes. Don't talk like my father like that. He is not an abusive father. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you joined us today. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He'll give us, it's his good pleasure. He'll give us the kingdom. He'll give us the kingdom, church. He'll give us the kingdom. He will absolutely do it. When I first came into the Word of Faith and I found out God was good, you know, we had some struggles and things, but I started getting so amazed at how many good days I had. And it went on and on and on, and the good days just kept coming. The good day, you know, there might be an attack, but boy, we could get over it. But man, when I found out God was good and I got on this trail, it changed my life forever.
Yeah.
Changed my life forever. My assignment in the earth as a person is to tell people that God is good. That's my assignment. That's why you hear me talking about it. You know, don't get tired of that, church. If you're here, you have to understand that the assignment on this person is that I have to salt and pepper every sermon with God being good. You may do something else. You may have a different flow when you're talking to people. But for me, it's that God is good. And so you're always, you know people like, okay, like Brother Copeland, all his sermons are salt and peppered with faith. Right. Brother Hagin, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, things like that. Mm-hmm. Mine are always going to be God is good. But right now, yeah. I believe the Lord has shown me that if we'll focus on the goodness, we'll go into the glory. Yes. Oh, wow. That's good. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we praise you and we bless you today. We thank you, Lord. If there's anything else you want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Strengthen our people here today. Strengthen them. Thank you, Lord, for blessing their lives. Thank you, Lord. 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 Ooh, the Lord just spoke to me. He said, they are well equipped for glory.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So we got it.
Amen.
So let's do it. Amen. So keep in mind when we come in here together to get your mind on Jesus, get your mind on worshiping as they lead you in worship, and pull on the anointing and watch what Holy Spirit can do. I come from the days when the fire trucks would show up because it looked like there was a fire on the roof, but it was just the Holy Ghost. Y'all heard of stuff like that?
Yeah.
I come from the days when people would walk up in a certain place on the platform and there was so much glory in a spot, they'd just go down.
Yeah.
I come from the place where when you were walking forward, you start getting woozy.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I come from a place where a blind man ran up to me and threw his cane down and took his glasses off and said, I can see y'all. That's where I was raised. I know about what happened in Pensacola. I know what happened in Toronto. I know what happened in Lockhart, Texas because of Toronto.
Exactly.
I know about it. I saw it. They called ours the renewal. Renewal. I was, church, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the charismatic movement. Okay? So I've seen some of these things. You're going to see them too. And I'm telling you, it's going to be Azusa Street on steroids.
Amen.
And in Azusa Street, People would get off the train a mile away and fall out in the spirit because the power of God was so strong. Well, I'd like to see that happen. Well, go ahead, get ready, because you're going to. That's not just here. It's going to happen in a lot of places. But Texas is picked out as a house of glory. I can tell you that right now. We're right in the center, and it's happening. Amen. I don't know what all the other... I know Deb and Danny pray with the other churches in town, and I know they want a move of God. They come back and tell me how they want a move of God. But I know this. We want a move of God. And when I say move of God, God is moving all the time. We have to join in. But he's going to put his foot on the gas, if you will. Yeah. Because we're in the Great Awakening. Because we have, let's see, what is it? Not quite 2 billion Christians, is it? 1.7 billion, anybody know? How many people are saved? There's 7 billion people on the earth, church. Amen. I saw this morning. I saw enemy camps, and you know what I'm talking about, in the east. I saw, I saw the Spirit of God move through an enemy camp. Not the spirit of death, but life. Other religion, like Taliban stuff type. I saw a whole camp get lit up in my spirit today while you were getting real strong in the spirit. Praise God. And I thought about Egypt when the death angel passed through. But this was life passing through. This was life passing through. And I believe there's strategic people that have been placed over there that are praying. Mm-hmm. There's some churches. There's a church going up in Jordan right now that is going to make a difference in the earth. Amen. There are people all over the place that are making a difference. You'd be surprised who's infiltrated places that they're praying. Amen. You sense that? You sense what God is doing? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, exactly. There's a whole underground church there. Amen. In Iran. Yeah. Church, I want to say one thing to you, and then we'll go here. We have two more things, but I'll say one thing, and then we'll do one more thing. Please watch what you pray for about Israel. Amen. That's a very delicate subject. Don't just listen to the news and pray. God has a plan. Yes, okay? And they've got to see that plan through. So watch what you're praying, okay? Make sure you hear the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, y'all received that? Okay, right here before we father out, I've heard that it's somebody's birthday. So, Deb, let's sing happy birthday to Vicente here. Praise the Lord. Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Vicente. Happy birthday to you. And there's a cake in the back. Yes. Yes.
I want to share something really quick about my dad.
Okay. You want a microphone? Yeah. Here we go.
I'm trying to say it without crying. But I just want to say to my dad how thankful and blessed we are to have a father like him.
He taught us faith at a very young age, his own way, without really even realizing he was teaching us faith. He taught faith through his stories that he told us of overcoming and achieving things because of his faith. This morning, as I was praying for my dad, I asked the Lord if he could give my dad a healing miracle today, because my dad has been suffering from an injury, a back injury, for 20 years now. And he's never allowed that to be an obstacle in his life. My dad's work requires physical work, and he's never allowed it to be an obstacle to keep him from achieving his goals and his dreams. And I said, Lord, today is the day.
Amen.
Today is the day that he receives that miracle. So, Pastor, I would like for you to help to lay hands on him.
Amen.
And if we can all just come in harmony,
amen,
and believe that today is his day that he receives,
amen,
a healing miracle.
Praise the Lord. Ron, Bill, David, come over here to Vicente, please. And Art, come over here, please. And these gentlemen are going to lay hands on you. And you're going to have that healing in your back today. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, Bill. Wait for Bill. Okay. Okay. Vicente, put your arms down. Vicente, put your arm. There you go. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Thank you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Give God some glory, church. So, were you sharing the cake, or how are you going to do it? Okay, there's a cake in the back. Make sure Vicente gets the biggest piece, of course. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The perfect plan, the perfect path. I've got you, daughter, says the Spirit of grace. The perfect plan and the perfect path. I believe that you're one of the persons that can bypass a lot of stuff and move forward quickly. God's called you to that. You're an obedient child of God, and you will move forward into new places quickly in Jesus' name. In the spirit realm, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. Everybody good. Praise the Lord. You're going to get a new guitar. It's an upgrade, and it's coming quickly. In Jesus' name, thank you for it, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I know what Nina's thinking. She's thinking, oh, good, I can. No, I'm kidding. Are you, you're playing? Do you have a guitar? Okay, praise the Lord. What are you playing? You playing anything yet? Okay, but you can sing, don't you? Praise the Lord. She's a cheerleader, too. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask him. He's ready. Thank you for it, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy birthday, Vicente.